a broadcast service of City College and the San Diego Community College District. This is Jazz FM 88.3 KSDS San Diego. I'm Dave Drexler with Inside Art. Support for Inside Art comes from the members of San Diego's Jazz 88.3. This week on Inside Art, we'll preview the 2024 edition of the Powers New Voices Festival of Plays at the Old Globe Theater. But first, La Jolla Music Society is presenting the San Diego debut of rising young pianist and composer Sean Mason, who brings his New York Quartet to the Conrad in La Jolla Sunday, January 14th at 5:30 and 7:30 p.m. Mason's debut album, The Southern Suite, features all original material inspired in large part by his upbringing in North Carolina, where he was raised in the Black Church and attended UNC Greensboro before moving to Juilliard in New York. Since then, Mason's performed as both a leader and sideman with some of today's finest jazz artists, including Branford Marsalis, Wynton Marsalis, Herlin Riley, and many others. Sean Mason joins me today by phone from his home in Charlotte. And Sean, it's a pleasure to welcome you to Inside Art.
Thank you, Dave.
So, Sean, maybe you can, since you're in the ancestral home of North Carolina, how was music a part of your life growing up there?
Well, I didn't come from a musical family, and I really do appreciate that now. And I didn't start playing the piano until I was 13 years old, but I did grow up in the church, so I was surrounded around music. And, you know, for celebration events, music was a big part of my family, of course, pretty much like every other family. And so I was able to hear music, but I didn't really get into it. And I was able to see music from the outside in. And when I really started to learn the language of music, I really saw it as a method of communicating spirit and as a means of really showcasing not necessarily my musical talent, but the songs and serving the music. So I do appreciate that aspect of my upbringing. I also appreciate the celebratory nature, which is kind of why I composed the music for my debut album, The Southern Suite. And I wanted to approach music differently than what I was hearing maybe some others do, and really take the essence and the spirit of music and deal with that.
You were also influenced, I read, by the music of Ray Charles and some other artists you heard.
Yeah, Ray Charles is one of many influences that was able to, when you listen to Ray Charles, you're just struck by spirit and blues. And among other things, when I listen to Ray Charles, I seem to not care about the technicalities of music. I just feel a deep sense of reverence and I feel a deep sense of soul, you know, and that's what I really appreciated about Ray Charles. You know, when I say I have influences, it's more on that kind of frequency, more so than the playing, but more so of how a human being was able to invoke so much soul into the music.
I also read that you had started off on a little electronic keyboard that one might buy at Costco or other places for quite a while. But how about that experience of, you know, getting on a real 88 acoustic piano? Do you have any recollections of what that was like the first time?
Yeah, I started on I guess it was a 42 key Casio. And I would get home from, I think I was in eighth grade at the time, and I would just fumble around with it and play by ear. I didn't know it at the time, but I was like learning songs I already knew by ear, which was pretty fascinating at the time. And I guess my grandmother saw something in me and decided to buy me a little spinet. And that spinet is what I learned, is what I used to learn how to play the piano. And so, you know, it provided me with a humble upbringing so that when I was able to play very, very high quality and meticulously crafted grand pianos, I'm very grateful for them. But I didn't grow up on those. So I was able to kind of stay humble in that regard and know that I'm grateful that I was able to make a beautiful sound from that spinet that I was gifted by my grandmother.
Then eventually in North Carolina, you met Branford Marsalis. Tell us about meeting him and then his later mentorship.
Yeah, he's been a great mentor to me. I met him at UNC Greensboro, and he, among others, encouraged me to move to New York, which, you know, at the time, I didn't really think about. I was just focused on practicing music. I didn't know moving to New York was a thing. I mean, I had such an unconventional upbringing for a music professional. I didn't do jazz band, a Grammy band, or I just didn't even know anything like that existed, really. I went to a jazz camp that was a local jazz camp growing up called Jazz Arts Initiative. But other than that, I didn't really know about other things that culturally existed in the jazz world. So Branford encouraged me to move to New York, and that was a great idea. And I moved to New York and went to Juilliard, and my career kind of blossomed from there.
Well, it certainly did. You got some great opportunities, and that was wise advice by Branford, of course. Eventually, you would play on the soundtrack to the Netflix film he composed for, August Wilson's Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. Maybe you can share a little bit of that experience.
Yeah, it was incredible to be placed in the 1920s and to play music as if 1930 hadn't happened. And not just 1930, all of the other decades. So I had to be careful of the musical language that I chose when I was playing the piano, because 1930 hadn't happened. 1940 hadn't happened. Bebop hadn't happened. You know, 2010 hadn't happened. So I had to really study meticulously the music of the 20s. I didn't have to. I could have just faked my way through it, but I am a studier. I love history. I also love the present, but I really love history. I love studying. I think it comes from the Southern values I was raised on, where it's a deep reverence and respect for my elders and a deep sense of reverence for tradition, and not being stuck in the past, but having a respect for it. So I took that very seriously and learned a lot about that style of music.
Yeah, you got to be a respectful time traveler then, like you say, 1930 hadn't existed yet, but you know that. It's an interesting perspective on it.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you know, making your debut album, what did you want to accomplish then with the Southern Suite as far as bringing all these things that had been inside of you up and out into the world?
Well, as the title suggests, I just wanted to honor the rich culture of the South and the nuanced culture of the South, because it's not perfect. And I wanted to capture the more positive sides of Southern culture that I remember growing up with. The spirit of, you know, Southern hospitality, importance placed on tradition, it's like slower pace of life. I wanted to honor those and put those values into the composition. So I took very seriously the compositions. And I also took very important the arrangements and also the production element and how I was going to lead the band. So I'm really proud of what we were able to accomplish. But I wanted each composition to embed a different nuance of Southern culture, both positively and, you know, on the negative side as well. You know, the challenging side of Southern tradition as well. You know, the too much tradition can sometimes be too bad, you know, and I wanted to honor that and make sure my own voice as a composer was able to soar through the tradition and have an equal balance of an appreciation for the old, but also understanding that we must move on. So that was the main ethos of the record.
Tell me a little bit about the band that's on the record, and then also, are these bandmates the same as you're bringing to La Jolla?
Yeah, so we had Tony Glaucy on trumpet, Chris Lewis on tenor saxophone, Damo Branch on drums, and Felix Mosholm on bass. And these are, in fact, the same musicians, except I'm bringing a quartet this time, and Tony Glaucy won't be able to make this one. So it'll just be me, Chris, Felix, and Damo.
All right. Well, what did you like about these guys as players? Were they part of your Juilliard training? How did you meet them and start to get along with them musically?
I'd say half of them were. Felix and I went to Juilliard at the same time, as well as Chris. But, you know, New York is just that melting pot, especially in jazz music, where eventually you end up meeting everybody. So we kind of all knew each other in the scene. But I love how we played together, and I love our vibe together, musically and personally. But we all bring something valuable, something unique, and something different to the bandstand, and we just love to play music for music's sake, and nobody's trying to overplay. We just love to play music, and that's kind of the core ethos of what I really enjoy about that band.
In your time in New York to this point, what's the best advice you've gotten from, you know, wise musicians that you've worked with or been around?
The best advice I've gotten was from observation. I'm fortunate to have played with so many great musicians. Catherine Russell definitely stands out as somebody who, you know, doesn't give advice directly, but you learn so much from her indirectly. I'd probably learn more from her than anybody else. And she's incredible. And being in her band was incredible. And I think I just learned how to really better approach music, and in turn, how to better approach life. And I'm really grateful for the experiences I've had with people much older than me. And I'm grateful for the ability to be able to shut my mouth, you know, in the presence of those people, and to learn, you know, and not to act like I know everything. I'm grateful to just shut my mouth and observe and learn, and then take what I've learned to move this music on, and to carry those same values that I hold near and dear.
We're talking with Sean Mason, who brings his band for his San Diego area debut to the Conrad in La Jolla. You're going to really like this space, The J, for two shows on January 14th at 5:30 and 7:30 p.m. So, Sean, any new projects in the pipeline, new releases, or other work you're doing that you'd like to share?
I have some very cool and special projects and releases coming out next year. I don't want to speak too much on them. I think it's a little premature, but you know, I coming in the spring and fall, you can be on the lookout for some really cool projects that will be announced. So I'm looking forward to that.
Well, in that way, is there any kind of, ensemble configuration that you've always wanted to do that you'd like to do?
I think it's too early to say. I'm with the quintet and the quartet right now, but I do love being a composer. I also love being a performer. I love playing solo piano. I love playing trio. I love playing and writing for big bands. So I think I'm going to unpack and discover many facets of musical configurations throughout the course of my career, and I'm looking forward to that development.
And we're looking forward to following your developments in jazz and whatever music offshoots that leads to. Sean Mason, thanks so much for joining us for a few moments on Inside Art. We look forward to having you here in San Diego.
Thank you, Dave. I can't wait.
La Jolla Music Society presents the Sean Mason Quartet, Sunday, January 14th at 5:30 and 7:30 p.m. at the Conrad in La Jolla. You can purchase tickets and learn more at theconrad.org. Sean Mason's album, The Southern Suite, is available at his website, seanmasonofficial.com, and wherever music is sold. Stay with us as we preview one of San Diego's most anticipated festivals of new plays, the Powers New Voices Festival, as Inside Art continues here on San Diego's Jazz 88.3. Funding for Inside Art comes from the members of Jazz 88.3, where your support brings the joy and history of jazz and all of the arts to San Diego. To become a member, visit jazz88.org/donate.